and welcome to Aspiration Athletics Podcast. I am your host, Devin Burnison, and this is episode 5, and I am joined with guest speaker, Brandon Wardlow. I'm really excited to bring him on today. I have known this guy for a few years. We started at Eastern Michigan University together, and we really hit it off from there. He's a well-decorated power lifter, well-decorated sports performance specialist, and has a lot of experience in this field and in this industry, and is recently certified. So without further ado, Brandon, welcome to the show.
Hey, I appreciate it. That was an awesome introduction, by the way, man. So I apologize.
Thanks.
Everybody in advance for my... So I am sick, but as he said, I have a lot of experience in this industry. I've been a avid goer of the gym for about 8-9 years now. I started when I was a freshman, or actually, you know, I probably started when I was an eighth grader. I remember my dad got me a bench, and you know, it just kind of took off from there. Obviously, probably all I did for that first 2 years was bench, but you know, a lot of people got to start somewhere. Starting my freshman year, it got really, you know, football related. I got into sports. I was a four sport athlete throughout all high school. Football, wrestling.
Wow, track, so you were quite the athlete back in high school and up until this point, huh?
Well, I had my specialties. I wasn't the best at everything, but you know, I pushed myself to the point where even if I wasn't the best, you know, with my given skill and talent and ability, that I was going to push myself to, you know, outwork whoever, you know, may have been a little bit more gifted, may have had a little bit more skill. And, you know, the one thing I always really prided myself on was my ability to understand things too. So especially in football, you know, like there's a lot more to the game than just being able to move fast and hit hard.
Right. So
concepts, formations.
Oh, me too, man. Yeah. So I know you played linebacker, right? For your school. Yeah. I played linebacker too. And you, as a linebacker, you were a Mike linebacker, like a middle linebacker.
I was actually an outside backer. Surprisingly. Yeah.
I got stuck in the middle linebacker position, 'cause I was a little shorter than some of our backers. Breaking down like what you're saying, how you looked at sport as like this, rather than just taking it for what it was, you broke it down into its components, you know, and recognize the movements within it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not just that, like, I think it helped in the long run with life, you know, because you can't just take the surface value, the surface level of everything. And I actually think that that's where we get, you know, the whole sports has an awesome positive correlation, awesome positive, like, impact on life, is when you start taking it for a deeper meaning than, oh, I need to hit hard and run fast. But there's, like, concepts that you need to grasp, and there's, the understanding of teamwork and, you know, trusting my ability and my teammates so that I don't have to try to, you know, compensate for their position and I can stay in mine. And that's a valuable lesson to have in life in general. Obviously, when you get to a job and you don't
know, right? No, clothes, that I understand. Now I played football myself and I wrestled myself, but you know, as far as it went, like learning lessons within those sports and how it attributed into life. For me, at least my personal opinion, what I found the most out of wrestling. Now, what do you think?
I think wrestling definitely taught me the most discipline, and I can agree with that 100%, because when I got to the Marine Corps, so I was continuing. Yeah. Obviously, we're going to get on a lot of tangents here, because Devin and I go way – we go way back. We have a lot to talk about all the time. So with wrestling, I noticed that the most. It was almost like probably one of the best preparations I had going into the Marine Corps. So I joined the Marine Corps in 2017.
So kind of walk me through that process. So like what, because I know you started, you were this well-decorated athlete and you had seen successes in powerlifting beyond anything that I had been exposed to just in my brief experience in the sport. So kind of walk me through where USMC came into play.
Well, the powerlifting decoration, I won two state titles as a powerlifter in high school. At the 181 pound weight class. But then, so I didn't want that to be my niche, though, you know, and we talked about this a little bit not too long ago, finding your niche, and I wanted mine to be football. So I tried walking on at Eastern Michigan University, and it didn't go as well as I wanted it to. So after that, I was looking for a fulfillment. I was looking for, you know, something bigger. I wanted to be a part of a team. I wanted to be, you know, constantly active. And I have a friend who my best friend in the world. I was actually the best man
that's
at
awesome,
his wedding not too long ago. Yep, he's a Marine, and he's been in for a little bit longer than me. He joined out of high school, and he was like, you know what, man? He's like, I know you're going through some stuff right now. I was at a weird time in my life. It was the sophomore year of college that we were in, going into sophomore year actually. And he was like, I know you're at a weird place. And he's like, just come in with me, and we're going to go talk to my recruiter. You know, the guy who put me in the Marine Corps. You know, it's his last month here in Michigan. He's getting ready to move to Texas. Right. I just want you to go talk to him. So I was like, you know, whatever. I'm at a weird place. I don't have anything better to do. The worst that can happen is I go in there, I don't like what I hear, and I say no. So I went in, and I loved what I heard. I absolutely loved it. I fell in love. I'll never forget Staff Sergeant Johnson. Was the recruiter that put me in. Technically, he was the recruiter that put me in, but Staff Sergeant Ashton is the one that, after Johnson left to go to Texas, Ashton took me over, and he was my guy. And I was helped out by so many Marines along the way, Sergeant Anderson, Staff Sergeant Tash. I mean, I couldn't even begin to name all the Marines that helped me, you know, mold my path before I even went to boot camp. Like, I hadn't even gone yet, and all these Marines were, you know, the family feeling, the team feeling was so real before I ever even made it, and before I ever even earned the title of a Marine. So
that's crazy. That's, see, I've been into, and granted, this was years ago, but my sister had joined the Army a few years back, and she's already done her time in her service, so she's gone and done other things since. But I remember being younger and walking into the recruiting office, and it was just what you're describing is a complete contrast than what I experienced. Granted, it was Army. It was Army. So it wasn't you devil dogs out there, but you know, it was a different experience. And what you're experiencing sounds like to me a real family, like oriented, like strong bond, accountability for each other. It sounded like a place that you could, for the first time in a long time, right, that you felt like you were valued and appreciated and comfortable and around people that were willing to build you up.
Yeah, and not only willing to build me up, but they were already like-minded. Right. Like, I was already around people who were similar in their thinking processes to me. You know, like, no one there wanted to settle for, you know, less. Everybody wanted to push to be their best. And, like, that's a quality of mine that I hold near and dear to my heart. Like, I refuse to settle for, you know, adequate or mediocre. Like I'm constantly pushing to do better. And even if, you know, I end up at mediocre or adequate, like, that, at least I'm pushing myself as
right
as
yeah exactly man better. And I think that's so important for all of our listeners out there to understand this principle, whether it's USMC or Army, or just getting involved in some sort of athletic program, or, you know, just, it just starts with putting yourself out there and finding a group of people that have a common interest or have a commonality in their pursuit, right? And, like, having the same vision and creating an environment in which everyone's on the same page, you're bound to see success, you know, which is exactly why you're at where you're at. And alluding back to the point, it's so important for people to realize that you have to create that environment. Like, you are the company you keep. And I've always said that. And if you don't have those strong influencers, and you don't have people who are even in your weak moments willing to pick you up and remind you what the bigger purpose is and your why, and remind you, you know, what the big picture is altogether, then, you know, you're kind of just meandering through different experiences and dabbling in and out of things. And it sounds like to me you found a good group of people and a solid environment where you were able to challenge yourself. And within that challenge and that struggle via the Marine Corps, you were able to change.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I could have said that better myself. So that was right on the point, man, right on the money.
And I think that's so important too, for everybody out there listening, is that, you know, it doesn't have to be Marine Corps. That's what you found, right? Like that was your salvation. That was your liberating experience. And it's unique to everybody.
And I have found people that, you know, like were in similar situations as me, and they went off and did, you know, charitable actions instead of, you know, joining the Marine Corps. And that was their thing. So they've been looking at like nonprofits. I have a friend who his original major here at Eastern Michigan University was he was going to go into marketing. And he was like, I love marketing. I love everything about it. As soon as we got there, that was like, boom, I know what I want to do. Okay, well, like last year, getting ready to be in his last semester, he said, I don't think I want to do marketing anymore. He's like, I feel empty. There's not a whole lot here. He's like, I feel like I need to do more. I need to provide more. And he found, you know, some nonprofits. And so now his major, he's going into like nonprofit organization, like nonprofit management. So finding your niche, like we were saying earlier, that he found that later on. It wasn't exactly what he had thought he was doing. It's still closely related. Like you think of the business industry and you think of the business world, they're still not complete opposite ends of the spectrum. But he was able to find that, and he feels more fulfilled now that he's doing like the nonprofit stuff and all that, as opposed to just the marketing aspect that he had originally thought for.
Yeah,
so long
and that is something that a lot of people fall into, and I think that's kind of like the biggest takeaway from what I try to predicate this entire idea of the show around, is like, find something that's going to fill your cup. You know, like it's not about the money. It's not about the bling bling. It's not about the big jets or the, you know, it's really, if you hold your value in those tangibles, you're never going to ever be satisfied, you know? So like finding that thing that's going to, that you can envelop yourself in while aligning and exercising your strengths, and to be successful at it is going to be easier than trying to work against resistance in something that you don't even believe in. And that's just you find that in your own endeavors now. Like I know at least to some extent, and you can throw some more insight on this as I kind of unravel it, but you switched majors, right? Like you started in the sports performance. Now, for all of our listeners out there, just a little bit of context, we were both in the sports performance and fitness entrepreneurship major and program within Eastern Michigan University. And I'm still in the undergraduate program, but you had switched at some point, right? From Spiffy to something else?
Yes. Yes. So I actually switched on the grounds that I'm now an entrepreneurship major strictly, only the
business
side.
That's why I like you.
I switched on the grounds that I didn't really feel that the sport performance that I was getting from Eastern Michigan University was all that different from the stuff that I was already studying as a personal
crazy, right?
To
crazy.
Get my certification. And I don't mean to knock, and I don't mean to knock the degree at all. I respect everybody who has it. I know there's a lot of, we obviously have a number of colleagues that have gone through the program, graduated with a degree and are doing great things with it.
I don't either,
it's necessary. And that's for my path, it just didn't seem right for me to spend thousands and thousands of dollars on information that I had already, you know, already had, I was already privy to, knowledge that I was already, you know, gaining in the real world from personal training experience. So I figured if I was going to do the sport performance and fitness entrepreneurship, and I was already specializing myself in the real world with the sport performance part, I just needed to focus on the entrepreneurship so that when I got done, I could market myself, I could put myself out there, could work on, you know, whatever project I want to work on. I have some ideas, and obviously we've spitballed some ideas back and forth off each other too. But you know, that's what I feel like I needed, that was going to put me, you know, in that perpetual motion forward, as opposed to, you know, having me go forward a little bit, having to stop to, you know, catch back up and then go forward a little bit, stop and catch back up. No, I wanted to be constantly moving forward. That perpetual.
Yeah. And I think that, for the most part too, I know that your perceptions towards your workload and like your perceptions towards your effort change if you believe in what you do, right? Like, look, and that's the thing, I noticed myself, Brandon, and this is why I took a step back from school altogether, within this program, because I could have switched and did a different a different program, like much like you did. But for me,
I'm literally a little deeper in, though.
So, like, I'm already kind of stuck into it. To switch now would be just dumb. And so going off of that anyway, I recognize that contrast too. You know, it wasn't like we were learning anything. And here's the thing, though. Here's why we were able to find all of those holes within the program is because most of our professors didn't expect us to have the initiative we did coming in to do this on our own. So they designed this entire program based on, and I'm going to give people insight on this because it pisses me off and I'm infuriated by it. I know you're a little more forgiving, but I hold our professionals to a higher standard. And I think that it's bullshit that they've just completely built this curriculum around getting you a certification as a personal trainer, which you can easily get right out of high school.
Yeah.
But they've built this entire curriculum to get you prepared for that. And then afterward to get you prepared for a strength and conditioning coach certification, which to me is like this one track mind of what is success is predicated on in that program. And I just don't believe that what they're preaching is giving everybody and setting people up for the industry to be successful and where it's going.
No, absolutely not. And in that strength and conditioning certification, I think really what comes along with that, that's not difficult to get either.
It's really not
out of high school. But they don't even like at the industry right now. And we talk about the fitness industry all the time. Like me and you talk about all the time that there's so many things wrong with it. But one of the things that's right with it right now is there's so much variation. There's so many variables. So if you're going to give someone, you know, a curriculum based on solely on personal training and strength conditioning,
everything
you're
else,
leaving out
yep,
all these other facets, everything else, what, like everything else that's extremely popular and booming right now. Like we talk about CrossFit all the time. There's CrossFit, Olympic lifting.
Yeah,
I know you're huge into the Olympic lifting and, mm-hmm. and that's growing rapidly again. And that's something that we're going to see fluctuate over time, but I don't think it's going to go down anytime soon. You know, the same thing with CrossFit. We thought that was going to fluctuate and it was going to go down really quickly.
Absolutely.
Still super
and especially
high intensity.
It is. And there's so many, and this is why I'm excited too for the future of the show. I have a guest coming on within the recent future or the near future rather, who's a researcher in Canada for sports performance and is conducting research out of a university in Canada right now. So we're going to have him on the show at some point, shedding some light on all of these fallacies within the industry and shedding light on really. Oh, there is.
Oh, there's a lot of them.
I can't wait to bring it to light because ultimately this whole idea of Aspiration Athletics and everything around it and the people involved, this is a band of people who've recognized a hole within the grand scheme of the fitness industry. And we're trying to fill it by creating value and creating content centered around the truth, centered around what works, centered around what's been proven, centered around what's tried and true. Not all of this bullshit that they want to bring out that they claim is a one size fits all approach towards training. And that's just never the case.
Yeah. That cookie cutter workout plan that people try to push on you, I can't stand that. Fitness is such a very individualized facet. There's really nothing that you can say that works 100% you that's going to feel the same to somebody else. And we can talk about muscle growth and for days. I don't care what makes you grow. Your muscle origin and insertion points are not necessarily the same as the person standing to the left or right of you. And that might not be something that makes their body grow. Their fibers might not be stimulated the same as that.
Right.
We're not going to get that deep into things. But I know that you – like, I know that you can understand exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You're like,
no,
yeah,
and that's the thing, man, is to me, it and really what it comes down to is, and we'll kind of expand upon this in just a moment, what it comes down to, and I've always said this, the best workout that you can give someone is one that they're going to, for one, be able to safely do, and two, it's going to create results.
Yeah.
So when you think about those principalities and those generalizations set in place already, orient the workout around what their body can handle, what's unique to them. And in order to find that, you don't just say, okay, we're going to do Olympic lifts, and I'm gonna just teach you from there. Like, you start out at a base, you show them the regressions of the movement, and then progress from there. Now, going off of that,
yeah,
you can only be taught whatever your teacher knows. So we've had some questions come in from viewers about some of the confusion within the industry and some of the literature that says yes to some training modes, no to some, and then, like, there's just a lot of confusion revolving around different training modalities. And what I can say, and you can go off of this too, Brandon, what I can say personally is that a instructor, a coach is only going to teach you the exact modality that they've put themselves through because that's what they know. So if right now, as a bodybuilder that you're involved in, let's say you had no other experience in powerlifting, so completely eliminate that. You are only going to teach people bodybuilding type of modality training because that's what you've been exposed to and you know, right? That's your strength. Right. Exactly.
Right. That's
it is.
That's a
it
fault
is.
In the industry, actually. And it's a major because honestly, that's a result of lazy trainers and a result of lazy, irresponsible, you know, fitness professionals who don't want to take the time to go out and experience and learn things. So like even as a bodybuilder, so say that this was the only thing that I had ever done. I personally, I do hit cardio against what everybody says. I do hit cardio. You know, I do the long, you know, steady state cardio as well, but I throw in hit sessions because I find value in it. And I not only throw in hit sessions, I throw in hit sessions that involve, you know, very CrossFit like movements and against a lot of, you know, skepticism for bodybuilders because, you know, bodybuilders don't do hit cardio. Bodybuilders don't like cardio in general. Not to mention, you mentioned, you know, throwing the word CrossFit with bodybuilding. Nope. You can't put those two things together. But that's part of my regular training regimen because there is value in it. You know, you talk about CrossFit. You talk about those are functional movements. The majority of CrossFit is a functional movement. I still want my body to be able to functionally move. I'm not going to be able to move heavy weight for the rest of my life if I can't function correctly with my joints. And then you talk about cardio. Like, as a bodybuilder, I'm taking in a lot of calories right now. I'm 16 weeks in my – well, 15 weeks now out of my prep, almost 14. My calories are still really high. If I don't do some type of cardio now and again, eventually you know, fat builds up. You can't just eat and eat and eat and then expect not to gain weight. Like, cardio is something that has to be a necessary thing in your regular training regimen as a bodybuilder.
Not even just bodybuilder, but think about fitness in general. Like, fitness, people get so one track minded on their fitness endeavors where it's like, okay, I'm just going to work on strength, or I'm just going to do, you know, hypertrophy or whatever. It's like, it needs to be a conglomerate of all of those training modalities to create a holistic program. And this is where you get into, and this is why I can't wait to bring on the sport physiologist and researcher, as he can shed some light on these training block ideas. But the idea of periodization, right? And linear periodization, undulating periodization, these different blocks of training that are in essence broken down to accomplish a certain goal within the training regimen. So you have 4 weeks set up for strength, followed by 4 weeks set up for power, followed by a transitional phase that goes into endurance, and then, you know, maybe hypertrophy after. So it's you're accomplishing a goal.
Right.
By incorporating all of those different modes of training, which what you just described in your bodybuilding endeavors is doing this block type of training layout where maybe you're not doing weeks of strength, but maybe you're undulating or switching how many different exercises you do within a given week that match hypertrophy or match strength or match endurance. Like, it does it for you. You've laid it out to where you have different days, like you have maybe what, an upper and lower body split or something throughout the week. Let's go into that. Why don't you run us through kind of a breakdown right now, what you're currently into, to give insight on our listeners on what is working for you and your goals. So what are your goals, first of all? What are you doing?
So right now, my focus in fitness is the bodybuilding, as we've already kind of alluded to. I've really only been focusing on it for the past 6 months, maybe. Back in November, I got down to 8.5% body fat. And that's when I was like, I started to get really serious about it. I'd started a little bit beforehand. I was like, you know, let me see how lean I can get. Got to 8.5, started putting on some weight. I'm probably walking around right now around 9.5, 10, closer to 10. And it just started to like click with me. I started finding little things that I was doing differently before that weren't working. And I was tweaking them. May have been just like an angle here or there that I was, you know, sitting at, like say for a lat pull down, maybe I was too far back and I was hitting a little too much rear delt.
Right.
Or something like that. I started to feel those, like that mind muscle connection started to become really, really apparent. And I was like, you know what, this is something that I can do. I have a spot here. This can be my niche where I can be extremely successful for now. So that's why the bodybuilding thing started to become so apparent, and I've started eating so much better because I wanted to, you know, if I'm doing this, I'm taking it 100% serious. I want to go all in. So my eating has gotten a million times cleaner. I think the last crappy thing I ate was on New Year's. I had like, I want to say a piece of cake for New Year's. And aside from that, I haven't had any type of sweets, any type of cheat days. I've stayed extremely clean. And I mean, some people would say one piece of cake, you know, that's nothing. But for me, that was I don't even want to do this.
Yeah, no. And I totally get it, man. It's when you get into that like serious endeavor. Yeah. That grind mode of bodybuilding. Granted, I only did one show and I did physique, classic physique, much like you're getting involved in. By the way, you're looking great, man. I remember getting involved in classic, and it was something totally new to me. This whole idea of having to like, for one, start tracking everything. It's really what it comes down to. Like, you're into everything you ingest and put in your body has got to be accounted for. And this is where a lot of people start to confuse their training efforts with their nutrition. A lot of people beat themselves up because they feel that it was something they did in their training that stopped them from being the best on stage or the best in their performance. But what they discount is what the hell they were eating the entire time and how they got there through their nutritional intake. And I think that's one of the most important things that you've been able to optimize in your experience so far that I missed the mark on coming into bodybuilding was, you know, you're starting right now at an 8.5% body fat going into what you're like 14 weeks out at this weight in BMI right now. Dude, that's fucking insane. Yeah. I was closer to 20% body fat and like nearly 240 pounds cutting. So, you know, you think about the type of male nourishment involved in that process, and you think about the type of
talked about this.
It really comes down to and this was like my trial and error. I wasn't certified when I got into any of this. I was kind of just going off of like some fucking T Nation workouts. And I had some, I had a coach at the time who I'll bring on this show soon. But Carl Jackson, who helped a lot, but it wasn't until the end where, you know, I really needed that help to make things clear that I was even able to look stage ready, thankfully, within that amount of time, because it came down to the wire where I wasn't sure if my body was going to be ready for that experience. But you've done a fantastic job throughout your endeavors in this process of getting to the stage, and you've really taken the time to experiment first with what works on your body and what hasn't. And I think that's so important for everybody to understand first and foremost is that, especially competitors, if you're going into something as serious as bodybuilding where there's already a lot of taboo with the drugs involved, it's freaking awful. Unfortunately, that's the sport, and people can argue that all they want, but it's plagued with drugs. Nevertheless, getting back to the point.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you've done a great job with your diet, and you've done a great job figuring out your own body. And I think that that's the biggest piece that people need to take away from any endeavor that they get involved in when it comes to fitness or performance is it's a trial and error process. You got to find what works for you individually and be more aware of what's going on in your body and how it feels with certain foods, certain lifts, and all in all, like whatever recovery tactics you do. Like, so let's dive into that too, because I'm curious. I used to do for recovery and certain unorthodox methods, I would try to build mental fortitude and help my recovery by taking extra cold showers after a workout. Do you have any crazy like shit that you do that's just outside the realm of a sane practice?
I wouldn't say it's too crazy, but honestly, on my rest days, so I do take at least one rest
here and there.
here and there. For a while, I wasn't. And I think I told you about that. I was doing 7 days on.
You were going wild.
I was doing cardio in the morning. I was. And I don't recommend that to anybody just starting out. I had already been doing this for a while. Like, I had already built up quite a bodily tolerance to working out. But right now, my rest days, I sleep for almost 12 hours. I'm not even kidding. Like, I sleep for a total of maybe 12 to 14 hours on my rest days. I literally will set aside everything that I need to do and get it done before a rest day. I might even stress beforehand because of how much stuff I have to get done before my rest day, so that when I'm on that period, I can just rest. Like, I don't have to think about anything. I make my meals the day before, and I literally, my rest day is wake up, eat, go back to sleep, wake up, eat, go back to sleep. And it's been revitalizing. Like, I feel so rejuvenated after that. Like, I go back and it's like I rested for like 3 or 4 days. I got so much, you know, recovery done and like recuperation done in that time. Like, that's, it works for me anyway. That's how I feel, that like I can go and bust out, you know, 3 days worth of workouts the next day if I wanted to, because I feel like I've already rested so much that's I got the ability to do that. I have that energy. I have that the elasticity in my muscles again. You know, I can feel all of that. You know, everything's back to being, you know, loosey goosey, and my shoulders aren't, because I got bad shoulders. I've always had bad shoulders, but you know, after that rest day, that's actually when I like to do my shoulders. Is I've kind of scheduled my workout, you know, accordingly, because after that rest day, everything feels great.
Yeah,
you know, my shoulders aren't tight anymore. I don't have that clicking. So I that's when I need to hit them. That's when they're the freshest. That's what, usually when I hit my shoulders.
Exactly. Right, this is something I want to highlight as well. Is notice what he's saying about his body, right? So those of you listening that are like, I don't know how to train, I don't know this, that, and the other, it's because you're thinking too fucking hard about it. We cannot tell you. What he just explained in terms of being able to prescribe that to you. You just said that you have to sleep 12, 14 hours, and then you go and train shoulders because that's how you get the best performance and output out of your shoulders and the best growth. So we cannot figure that out for you. Like, that is something that no coach, no... Yeah, I mean,
like, I had to play with a lot.
You guys are putting too much faith in all of this this literature and not enough in yourself and just getting moving. Like, if you try to learn everything that there is with all the training principles involved and all of the different methods and fads and different unorthodox training method, you're going to drive yourself fucking insane, and it's too much information. You really just have to find what works for you, and especially starting out. Now, you know, going back to a more oriented, because we kind of got off on a tangent for some of like our more advanced listeners, right? So going back to those that are beginning their journey, you know, if you're just getting started in fitness and just getting started on a training program, you have to do a lot of trial and error. And let me tell you, this way. If you aren't willing to find out what works and what doesn't for you, then you really shouldn't get involved in fitness in general, because if you're going to be lazy about it, you're going to get the same half-assed results you've always gotten in the gym, and nothing's going to change. So if you can't put in the time and the effort, much like anything else in life that you want, Because it's easy to sit down and watch fucking Netflix all fucking day, you guys. But if you really care about the endeavors you're putting yourself in, start, you know, thinking about what training modes are going to be good for you and start thinking, just do your research. Like, it's homework, okay? Get used to doing work in your life. Like, that's all I can say. And this is the thing the industry doesn't want you to know, is like, it takes work. There is no easy way out of it. Like, no, there's not a magic pill. Sorry to tell you, there's no supplement that's going to help you get there. Really, if you want to get there quicker or find a cheap solution, like, yeah, it's going to be roids and then you're going to die early. Like, it's reaping what you sow. It's input and output. All of the people that want to think that they're doing and mitigating their drugs properly for PEDs, they're not. Like, you're adding a synthetic substance into your body that isn't natural. You know, and it is natural, but it's not naturally being produced, and it's taking place of something that is, and therefore all of your metabolic systems start suffering. So anyway, going back to the beginner points and those getting involved in their journey, it's a lot of trial and error, and it's a lot of being aware of what feels good, what doesn't, knowing where you're at in your base. And just like anything else, guys, it takes effort. And it takes a lot of time. I mean, to be successful in any venture, it takes a lot of time. So start caring about these things. Start putting more time into this. Start putting more time into things that you care about rather than sitting on social media all day, unless you're listening to this podcast. Because really, I mean, really,
unless
because
you're
like,
listening to this podcast.
If that's the case, like, I'm on my phone and on my tablet and on technology and media all day, but it's usually centered around some sort of growth. Like, there is outlets in technology to find value in whatever you're doing, right? Like, there's so much information out there. There's so much knowledge to be gained out there from people who can provide insight, much like Brandon and I, and we're just scratching the surface. You know, we're younger. We're just getting started, not just getting, but we're getting established in this industry when there's many of those people out there who've been in it much longer, who have podcasts as well that can shed light on different situations. But it really is a learning experience, and it's really just about creating that initiative to go out and learn it all. And that's what Brandon and I have done. And kudos to you, Brandon. I mean, really, you got started. I mean, you just got certified, what, like last month? Officially? It was
no,
May.
It was,
I'm sorry.
It was May.
Time flies, bro. Time flies.
It's been a little
it seems
while.
Like yesterday.
Yep. But, yeah. But it was super recently, though. I had the books, man, for almost a year before I got certified, so I can see why it felt so long, because I had talked to you about my certification when I first got back from boot camp, like when I first got back and I was back in school again from all the I got done with boot camp, I got done with my infantry school, and literally the first thing I did when I got back was buy the certification material, and I was talking to you about it, and it took me until May of this past year to finally take the test, because I was stressing and worrying about things that I didn't need to worry about. But it went well and I loved it. And since I've gotten my certification, to be honest, I've learned more through the actual trial and error that we talk about and the actual like hands-on doing of training than I ever did from that book. And that's not to knock the book. That's not to knock the training procedures to get the training certification, but there are so much more than just this is client rapport, this is client assessment, this is how you do, implement program adherence. There's so much more than what that book tells you.
Yeah,
so
no, I agree.
Beyond.
And going off of that too, like, I feel like the book really tries to set you up for the business aspect of it. I mean, quite honestly, and
it does.
I can't speak on NASM, I can't speak on NSCA or NCSA. No, NSCA. I can't speak on all of those governing bodies, but I know that ACE at least There's a good amount of science stuff in there too. Don't get me wrong. And for anyone who's looking into prospective
Yeah.
certifications, I love ACE. Yeah, I think
I
ACE is
think ACE
great.
is great. Yeah. I love ACE.
And
That's I actually chose ACE because I think there was a good balance between the science and
practical. Yep.
the hands-on business, like client. It was very practical. I know some of the other ones are a little like super science focused to the point where they're talking about biology of cells, and
It's
that's a little
unnecessary as fuck,
unnecessary
and
to
I'll tell
me
you why.
as a
Because
personal
no
trainer.
person in the, I
Yeah.
don't care what athlete that you're training, nobody's either going to give a shit or be able to digest any of that information. Save that for the fucking researchers, man. Let us do the
Yeah.
groundwork and produce results, and let the research come out that is going to, support all of these generalizations and training that we program for. But everything else, like learning
Yeah.
all of the cell structure, and I agree you should learn how muscles innervate and how their cross-sectional area, and you should learn how they function and different like flexion extension, knowing which muscle does what, and
Right.
having a
But the basis of your certification shouldn't have to come from that. The basis of your certification, if you can understand how the body moves, the basic kinetic, like kinesiology, basic physiology, to the point where you're saying, okay, during a bicep curl, the concentric motion is curling the bicep, and then the eccentric motion coming down, you engage this and this. Like
Right.
that should be the extent of it. That's functional. That's movement relative
Yeah.
to exercise. That I don't need to tell you that while you're contracting your muscle, this is what's happening. Your spindle fibers are shortening, and as you that eccentric motion, they're lengthening, and tell them why they're doing so, and like the biology of what's happening behind that, the
Yep.
sodium potassium pumps that are there. Like they don't need to know that. And not only do they not need to know that, the train and I'm talking
Right.
about the trainer, by the way, not the client. The trainer doesn't not only does the trainer not need to know that, it's not going to change,
No.
how the client does the workout. It's not like when you tell, like, that having the trainer know that information, telling the
Yeah.
client that, because we tell our clients stuff all the time so that they understand what they're doing. You explain to them almost exactly what you read and how you were taught, not only for your benefit so you can, regurgitate the information and also retain the information longer, but so that they have an understanding of what they're
Yeah.
doing and they feel like they're learning too.
Yep.
That's something we do as trainers. But if you start spitting out that biology to them, they're gonna stop their workout, I promise you. They're gonna stop and look at you like,
Exactly.
what the hell did you just say? They're gonna look at you like, this is not a science class.
And that's
This is
exactly what
legit.
I want to point out too, is it comes down to stay in your lane. I'm gonna let researchers and scientists come out with the information that I can predicate the training around, but I can't waste my time and energy in something that I don't specialize in, because then I'm just wasting my time and energy, right? So we know what works
Yeah.
for our bodies. And we've done enough training with clients to know what works with the type of people and demographics that we work within. Now, that being said, there's training principles that lie in the realm of different demographics too that are out there for research. Like there's low impact training through different TheraBands and stuff like that that are administered for more of your geriatric clientele. That's a principle. But when it comes to knowing the
Yeah.
science behind it all, there's a base that you should be able to understand, and then anything else beyond that is a waste of time and resources for the trainer.
For the trainer,
I, as
absolutely.
long as you can
I
produce
agree.
results consistently as a trainer, as a coach, and keep your athletes or your clients safe, that's the main deal. That's it. People get so, and this is why I hate some of the training industry, is there's some awesome training or trainers out there that focus too much on the sciences, and then they end up not having a very large client base because they made so much of their training oriented around explaining why it works this way versus showing them how it works and producing results of how it works.
Yeah, and that's something that we talked about the other day too, the whole do as I
Yes.
say thing, not as I do. I don't like that approach. I know a lot of trainers in the area that I work in that are very
Yep.
do as I say, not as I do. And in my opinion, if you're telling someone that they shouldn't do as you do, but rather as you say, you don't necessarily practice.
Yeah, exactly.
So why should I practice it? You know, I don't tell anybody this is how it's going to work for you. I don't tell someone that this is the exact way that it's going to work if you don't do it just like this, or just the way that I do, or anything like that, because like we talked about earlier, there's no cookie cutter formula for muscle growth, for, you know, for growing in general, for becoming a more fit athlete or a more fit individual, like just for your everyday healthy lifestyle. There's no one size fits all. And if you're listening and you're getting started in the whole fitness thing, you really want to make a change. You really want to make an impact. Maybe your New Year's resolution was to exercise more. Do not go to the gym and be discouraged by looking at someone across from you and having them give you information like, oh, you're doing this wrong. Look into it yourself, because I've walked in the gym as a trainer with my certification. I've walked into the gym, performed exercises, and had people come up to me not knowing that I was a trainer and
right.
I was doing something wrong. And I will look at them and tell them, look, I appreciate you coming out and reaching out to me, but for me, this is the best way for it to work. So if you can literally feel like you're doing something, if you feel that workout, if you feel like you're growing and it's helping you and it's not hurting you, which is most important, then when someone tries to correct you and tell you you're doing something wrong in the gym, take it with a grain of salt. You know, don't let that discourage you. Don't feel like you're a novice and you don't know what you're talking about just because you're in the gym or they happen to approach you. It happens to all of us. Devin laughed and agreed, but I'm sure he's had it happen
so much
times where someone will come up to you. And sometimes it's like the most ridiculous thing ever. Like I was doing a chest fly the other day and I had a guy come up to me and tell me I was doing chest flies wrong. And the way he showed me, I thought the rotator cuff was going to pop out in front of me. And I'm serious. And I was like, whoa, like I can't let you do this way. Like I'm going, like I'm cringing at this point. And I was like, no, I'm not doing this wrong. My friend, you are doing this wrong. And I don't know what you feel, but
right, exactly. And again, going back to it's individual to, or it's unique to the individual, being that everybody's physiology is different. Everyone's got different deficiencies in the body that they have to work around. Now, I was going to ask you, but it seems like you already came up with it. Because we're coming down towards the end of the line here, do you have one or two tips that you can share with our listeners that they can take away into helping them begin or optimize their fitness journey and getting involved in their fitness endeavors?
Well, that would be the first one, what I just said. So if you missed the first one, rewind it a little bit, go back and listen. And that's the first tip I can give you. And the second tip that I can give you is to be extremely patient. And, you know, I said it a second ago, do not get discouraged. Do not get frustrated. But in that patience, have accountability. Yeah. You know, there are going to be times where, like, it feels like it's taking forever and you might want to just, you know, what's this one little thing going to do if I don't do it? So I skip one workout, okay, or I eat one meal that I'm not supposed to do. Hold yourself accountable. Those are things that are, in the long run, setting up bad habits for the future. And that was something that I had to break. So when I first started, you know, getting back in the gym, when I got back, I was not in the best shape. I was in the best shape of my life ever when I got back from the Marine Corps in terms of running, but I did not have nearly as much muscle.
I remember you were like not tiny, but you looked like you just ran every day.
I was small. I was tiny. So I went from 200 pounds as a power lifter to 160 pounds as a Marine. You know, there was a 40 pound difference there, and it was very noticeable in terms of muscle mass. I was still very strong.
You had like really good type twos.
Like I was doing 35 plus pull-ups. Yeah, I still had really good type twos. And, you know, I performed extremely well at boot camp. You know, I was company honor grad. I was company Ironman. I did all these things. Like, I was the fittest Marine on Paris Island for that term of boot camp. Like, but I was so, like, I hated the way I looked in terms of my body, dude. I felt so small. And that's why in February when I got back and I finally got established and you know, settled back in, I started getting back into the gym. And that's when I started to see you again, you know, when I first came back to IFSI and first came back to Eastern. So February, really, I started this process and I had no idea what I was doing. So look at, take it from me, someone who's only 11 months into to completely recompositing their body. Like, I'm in a total body recomp at this point. I went from in February of 2018, I was at 14% body fat. I made it to 8.5 by November, playing around, not understanding what I was doing, literally going through trial and error, like Devin has been talking about. from February probably until June or July, I was playing with things. I was like, oh, okay, I want to see if this works. That entire period right there was all trial and error, and I had to have so much patience. And had I not, you know, held myself accountable, then where I'm at now wouldn't even be possible. And there were times like I should have held myself even more accountable. I had maybe a few too many cheat meals throughout right. that, you know, February to July process. But July on into November, I really dialed it in. And that's how I got to that 8.5% body fat. And that's why I'm at where I'm at now. And I'm able to, you know, have this much more lenient prep than what most people would have. Like, I'm still at 2,300 calories and 250 grams of carbs. And I don't feel like I'm gaining any type of weight. I feel great. I still feel like I'm dropping body fat wow. percentage.
That's excellent, man.
At this point. But that's because I was able to dial in from, you know, July to November, and I was able to really hold myself accountable throughout that entire period. I maybe had one cheat meal a month, maybe two, but that was really, really accountable for me. And at this point, like,
I want to highlight your main point here for our listeners. Notice the key word here, accountability. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm really trying to preach is holding yourself accountable. That patience is going to come from the accountability. You being able to stay patient is going to all lean on the fact, or can you hold yourself accountable?
And it's discipline. Like, this is where people, and I hate to get into what people experience, but everybody's soft anymore. I'm just going to throw it out there. Everybody's soft. And here's why, because until you've had the ambition or the drive to put yourself in a state where you feel challenged constantly and in the form of physically and mentally, I'm not just talking about in your fucking academic adventures. Fuck your school shit, you guys. Come on.
Right.
Get over yourself. No, but like, this like stressing over a test thing that like, oh, it's going to ruin my life. Like,
yeah.
No, you're ruining your life because you're not learning any other useful skills and you're too soft to realize that outside the realm of school, there's all this possibility. So it's being trusting for one in yourself, holding yourself accountable to a higher outcome, right? And holding yourself accountable to a higher sense of purpose and believing in your gut that you're going to figure things out, whether you get a degree or not. It's going to, I mean, you have to trust yourself, you guys. This whole rule of accountability comes from, for one, trusting that you know where you're going, trusting that in your gut, you know the right answer. And I had somebody, I was talking with a mentor coach the other day, and he was trying to get down to my own insecurities. And he put me on Front Street, much like I did with a lot of you just now. He pointed out my insecurities. He's like, so what's stopping you from trying to get this startup going? And I'm like, well, to be quite honest with you, I'm 21. I live on my own now. I have finances that I'm, you know, responsible for. And, you know, I have all of these looming social pressures on my degree. And he's like, so what are you really good at? And I'm like, well, I'm good at programming workouts and for strength. And he's like, so if someone were to argue with you about the validity of your workout program, you know, true in your heart that it's tried and true and it'll work. And I said, yes. And he said, then why do you give a shit what anyone else thinks? And in that moment, Brandon, in that moment, all of you listeners out there, I started creating content. In that moment, I started shifting everything into, well, I'm not ready to make this thing happen, to we're going to blow it up, because that's what I needed to hear, because I do know what I'm talking about and I do know what I'm doing, much like you do, Brandon. Right. And it wasn't until you believed it that your perceptions around everything else in your life, your training and your endeavors and your experiences changed because of that transformation of your thought process. You were rewired from that point on. And I think that's such a powerful experience for any of you listeners out there who need to be counseled, is that really look in and dig deep and find, again, going back to accountability, find something that's going to, for one, something you want out of life. Okay. Whether it's fitness or even if it's academic related, find something you want out of life, figure out how you're going to best get there. and create a plan of action. It's like a business plan. And this is where people need to be privy on business as well. It's like you create a business plan of how you want to get a business off the ground and to be successful. And in order to do that, you have to create projections. You have to create a step-by-step model of how to get there. It's the same way when you want to accomplish a goal, you guys. So you wonder why you're not successful in your ventures. You wonder why you're lacking the motivation. You wonder why you can't do all of these things that you want to do. And it's because you don't believe in what you do. You don't believe you have the power. You don't believe you have the knowledge. You don't believe you have the discipline to get it done. And I'm here to tell you, just like Brandon and I had to find it, all of you are deeply ingrained with a magnificent and beautiful disaster of opportunity within you and potential within you that you have to find and unlock. And that's not something myself or Brandon can do for you. It takes an epiphany. It takes a powerful moment. It takes a call to action for you to do those things. But in closing, because we're getting about that hour time frame here, Brandon, thank you so much for jumping on the show today, man. It was such a pleasure and an honor to speak with you and to get some insight on your own training endeavors and to really kind of recap. It's been a reminiscent experience for me listening to our past and to listening more into your past. I got some insight.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I know. And it's going to be a hell of a lot longer, dude. And I look forward to bringing Brandon on more often. He's a good friend of mine and a great, great role model, a great influencer. So look forward to seeing him more on Aspiration Athletics. Before I let you guys go, I want Brandon to go ahead and share all of his social media platforms so you guys can check his content out and follow his ventures and his journey in his own fitness and including bodybuilding and preparing for his competition. So Brandon, go ahead and share your social media platforms.
I appreciate that. So my Instagram is going to be at brandon.m.wardlow. If you need to spell that, it's at @BRANDON WARDLOW. The Instagram is where I post the majority of my stuff. I do a couple segments on there, Motivational Mondays, Reflection Fridays. I just posted one. It might still be up. It should still be up until later tonight. You can follow me on Facebook or add me on Facebook. I'm super, you know, open to adding anybody. If you do add me on Facebook, however, send me a message and let me know that you heard me on the podcast or you've heard me do some social media platform, whatever it may be. Shoot me a message and let me know so that I can add you back because I don't like to add creeps at that time. So Brandon Wardlow is my Facebook. It's a picture of me at the gym. What else? And outside of that, the last thing I want to leave you with is I have coached a couple powerlifting and a couple like other, you know, fitness, you know, oriented sports. And the one thing that I can always tell people when they're going into the gym, there's three things that you need to have. There are three things that start with the letter C. So you can call them the three C's. You need to be confident to the point where you come across as cocky. You need to be consistent.
I love it.
And you need to be coachable. Those are the three things that you need when you walk into a gym. If you walk into anything like that, if you walk into a business, if you walk into a job interview, if you can walk in confident to the point where you come off almost cocky, consistent to the point where, you know, you're not letting yourself falter from your endeavors, and coachable to the point where you're willing to learn and you know that you don't know everything, but you're able to, you know, to find the answer one way or another. Those are the three things, in my opinion, that those are the keys to success.
That's beautiful, Brandon. I love that. And I appreciate you being on the show. And in closing, guys, you can find Brandon on all those social media platforms you just described. Please subscribe and follow the channel and join the movement. This has been Aspiration Athletics, guys, and you can catch us on all of your podcast providers. We are on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. So please look for the bright blue man, Aspiration Athletics. Join the movement, you guys, and don't forget, aspire to inspire. Thank you, guys. Have a good one, Brandon.
I like it.
All right.